Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, for the first time, the very first time, a remarkable and painstaking investigation has linked the atrocities in Bucha in Ukraine with an identifiable group of Russian soldiers. You might remember last April, disturbing videos and photos emerged from the war in Ukraine showing the bodies of dozens of civilians strewn along a street in Bucha near Kyiv. The shocking images caused Ukraine, and the rest of the world indeed, to voice its horror and outrage. But the Russian President Vladimir Putin dismissed the gruesome scene as a provocation and claimed that the Russian army had nothing to do with it. Now, 8 months later, an investigation by the New York Times shows evidence of how one Russian army unit killed dozens of people on one street in Bucha. Maliki Brown is a reporter and a producer with the New York Times and was part of the investigation team that collated all of this evidence. And Maliki joins me now. You're very welcome, Maliki, to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
Before we get into the how, you might tell people what your investigation has discovered.
We, when we saw those images, we wanted to figure out, well, what happened to these people? Who were they and who was responsible? Because, as you said, there were denials by Russia, not an investigation by Russia. And people were saying that maybe these people were killed in the crossfire or casualties of war. And we found that there was one particular Russian paratrooper unit, the 234th Guards Air Assault Regiment, that was part of the offensive to take Kyiv, that got stuck in Bucha, and that systematically, over the course of weeks, went along this street, which was almost a sort of a front line in the war, and took out anybody that crossed their paths, interrogated men who were of fighting age but had no affiliation to the army, executed them, and used their armored vehicles and snipers to take out civilians that were walking along the street. 36 people.
So you connected the 234th Regiment in the Russian army with dozens of murders, basically, of civilians and passers-by.
Yes, yeah.
And how did you do that? Because it was, I described it as a painstaking investigation. How was it done, Maliki?
The first weekend, Cormac, when those images came out and Russia was denying it, we basically debunked that by looking at satellite imagery and showing that the bodies had laid there for weeks. And we could see the bodies gradually in the satellite imagery. We had a rough time span of when people were killed, where they were killed. Well, we sent in reporters Yusser Alou and Masha Froliak, who's from Kyiv, actually only about a 20-minute drive from Bucha. And they went door to door and talked to anybody who was still left in Bucha. Lots of people had evacuated by that stage. And their stories were consistent. But we also knew that we had to find evidence that would back that up. And so anywhere they saw a security camera, they found out who owned it and how we could get access to it. And right along the street, they collected 20 terabytes of footage, which, I mean, it's an obscure number, but that's thousands of hours of footage over the course of the month. Mm-hmm. And in addition to doing all of this reporting, they shipped that back and we started analyzing it. Another part
was that done with analyzing the video footage, and there's an awful lot of it, as you describe. Was that done with manpower, or did you employ technology as well?
Both. We have a journalism fellow who's really good at computer programming, and he wrote a script to analyze all of that footage and pull out the faces of Russian soldiers, or any faces that were seen, but most of them were Russian soldiers, which is one way to filter through it. Some of it is filmed at night, but you also want to listen to what's being said at night, because we identified the call signs of Russian commanders in the footage. We also interviewed several paratroopers. A couple of them were detained by the Ukrainians. It would be unusual. Normally, we wouldn't interview prisoners of war, but it was done with their cooperation. But they gave us the call signs. One of them was a radio operator. Then we obtained military documents that confirmed that and had these three call signs in particular, Flacon, Astra, Uran, and we heard those repeatedly. So we knew the commanders of the 234th were running the show here. But also in the CCTV, we identified most of the vehicles had their markings painted over, but some of them, you know, didn't do a great job. And we were able to identify markings in the vehicles, link them to the 234th. And
we'll get to the phones in just a second. But just that question on the call signs of the Russian commander, does that mean this was orchestrated? That it was sanctioned from on high?
Oh, absolutely. The soldiers, we spoke to soldiers in the unit as well, who said that they're doing what the Russians call the clearing. And so that's part of their effort to secure the area. Now, securing an area is part of any military operation, but the manner in which they did that, executing people, taking out civilians, anybody who crossed their paths, is against all the laws of war. And the commanders, even if they themselves didn't pull the trigger, they're present, they're orchestrating this, they're not doing anything to stop it. And so they're on the hook for the war crimes that happened under their watch that their soldiers are carrying out.
My God, that is chilling, especially when you look at the detail, and you're talking about the slaughter of children running home, or people cycling home from getting groceries or whatever the case may be. When we describe them as civilians, they are that innocent and that much of a passerby, as you've uncovered. You mentioned phone records there. It's absolutely fascinating what you and your team did with phone records to trace back to the 234th Regiment.
Yes, yeah, we, in the course of reporting, anybody that Yusser and Masha spoke to had been stopped and interrogated by the Russians, had their phone searched or taken from them. And some of them said that their phones were used subsequently. So we thought perhaps they also took the phones of victims. And so we contacted Ukrainian authorities, who gave us a log of all of the calls made from the Bucha area during March to Russia. And by contacting the relatives of victims, we got their phone numbers. We also, through the drone and satellite imagery, knew when they had died. And we could see that hours after they were killed, the Russians were passing the phone around the unit, and one after the other, calling their fathers, mothers, wives, girlfriends back in Russia, friends. And so we were able to, through social media analysis, connect those numbers to Russian social media profiles. There are also leaked Russian databases of vehicle registration information and payroll data that linked their payroll to the military unit, which was another point of corroboration. And basically, we found that 24 soldiers in the unit use the phones of at least six victims over weeks across the street.
My God, it's incredibly callous, isn't it, to shoot an innocent passerby, steal their phone, and use it to call your own loved ones in Russia. It's something else. You managed to identify some of the victims as well.
Yeah, we identified 36 of, you know, we think around 41 victims. Several people have not yet been identified. And so there's another story related to that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, anybody can see this at nytimes.com/Bucha and the documentaries on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. But yeah, these were people who were just going about their daily business. Some of them were going out to get food during the occupation, or say goodbye to a mother or father who was staying behind as they were about to leave Bucha, and the Russians shot them and killed them.
I would certainly encourage people to look at the work you've done, and it's, as you say, it's on the New York Times website. It is it's so detailed in what you've managed to do. Can I ask you what the Russian military has said in response to your investigation, Maliki? Because we know at the time that they denied flatly that it had any Russian involvement, and they said it was, I think, the Ukraine army or authorities orchestrating all of this in terms of the PR battle.
Yes, they didn't reply to any of our requests last week. We contacted the colonel, the embassy in the States, the Ministry of Defense, silence from them. But, you know, Lavrov and Putin have continued right up until September at the General Assembly to deny this and say the whole thing was staged. But it's clear, you know, you're catching them in the act on video of doing it. And so to continue denying that is it's preposterous.
I just wonder if your evidence now could be used in any prosecution in terms of a war crime or a crime against humanity or what they're now talking about outside of the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the crime of aggression. Could your evidence be used?
Possibly. I mean, what's different about this war is the amount of digital evidence available, you know, and so we expect that, you know, investigators are going to be drawing the same patterns that we did. Now, the only thing is that they're one thing, Russia isn't going to refer anybody, you know, just like former Yugoslavia. It was like, was it 15 years, 20 years between before Mladic and Karadzic were extradited. But yeah, it's hard to know what exactly is going to happen. Also, investigators over there are overwhelmed. Like, there's, I think, over 30,000 cases, and there's probably going to be a few of them that will be emblematic cases, and who knows, Bucha might be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a testament to you and your colleagues, this piece of work, available on the New York Times website. Malachy Brown, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks.